starting, of course, a new theme this month. We had a great year of different themes, and we're going to kick off this year principally on two things. Of course, this month is our month that we take for our consecration. So starting tomorrow for the next 3 weeks, we encourage you to do a little bit extra fasting and praying and drawing near to God, as we outlined last week. On the back desk, there is a sheet that gives you the kind of things that you can do. You know, maybe you can only fast one meal a day. Maybe you have a medical condition. Maybe you can fast from Facebook, fast from the TV. Amen. But we want to take the next 3 weeks to start off the year in the right vein of drawing near to God. Because he promised that he would do what? Draw near. I want him close to me. I need him. I need him in 2025. I need him close to me. I need him, I'm telling you. Because Satan has a target on your back. Did you know that? He has a target on your back, and it's not the shop. It's you. He wants to destroy you. Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. So we're going to be focusing on that. So please take one of the sheets. And for the next 21 days, we started off really focusing on the Daniel fast, which was why it was 21 days. So if we do that, I believe we'll have a very blessed and successful year. Amen. Our January study theme is the mission. And you see, I've put up some posters because I want us this year to have a culture change. Amen. We don't want to be just hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. So we're going to be very much pushing that theme of a mission, that all of us have a mission, not just the pastor, not just the praise team, not just any leadership, but every one of us has a mission. And we're going to be looking at four things this month that we should be involved in all aspects of our Christian walk. Discipleship, that's probably going to be the main focus this week and during the month, discipleship. And there's two parts to discipleship. There's the discipleship of us, and then there's the discipleship of others. Amen. And then we are going to be talking about worship. And, of course, that's one thing I think we are already doing very well. But we want to be even more in a worshipful spirit, because the strongest prayer is one of praise. Amen. Praise is actually your strongest prayer. When you just start thanking God, when you just start thanking, Lord, you took me through 2024. Hallelujah. I don't know how I did it when I look back at all the things that could have destroyed me. Some of us had accidents. Some of us were in the hospital. Some of us had financial disasters. But yet here you are. Amen. So we want to be even more worshipful. Amen. That's all the angels in heaven do. In Isaiah, it said all they do is cry, holy, holy, holy. Amen. They worship the King of Kings. And we want to get into that worshipful attitude of when we have a problem, we're going to do like Job. The Bible said that he nevertheless didn't curse God. He gave God the glory. Amen. Despite what was going on. And then we want to make sure that we are fellowshipping. And we do that pretty good, but we want to be even more mindful of our brother and our sister, right? To encourage one another, to pray for one another, to tell when God has blessed us, to encourage someone else. So we're going to be focusing on fellowship. And of course, lastly, sonship, which is our own personal growth. Because the Bible says that those who are filled with Spirit, God gave them power to become. We're in the process of becoming fully a son of God. Now we have the earnest, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the deposit on the house. But we still haven't moved into the new house. And my old house is getting a bit raggedy. Needs some repairs. But I'm believing that God is going to come and deliver us and give us that new body. So we're going to be looking at sonship. So those are the four main topics. And in fact, those are our mission statements for this church. They have been from the founding, but we have not really focused on them. But this year, we really want to focus on them. And all of the people who are up here behind here preaching to the assistant pastors, I've given them a challenge that their messages and their encouragement should fall into one of these four categories. It should be about either discipleship, worship, fellowship, sonship. We're going to be saying that so much till that is what sticks in your mind when you think of Rehoboth, right? That church is all about discipleship, worship, fellowship, and sonship. And that won't be just us. That will be you too. So the theme this month is get a mission. Get a mission. At the end of the month, we're going to be passing out some cards. And I want you to put your name on it. And I want you to have chosen a mission. Actually, more than one mission. You know, when you enlist in the army, you may have signed up to be a cook. But guess what? You have to learn some core things. They put you to the same boot camp as the guy's going to be on the shooting, right? There's some core things that all of us have to have as our mission. We're all commanded to go make disciples. Whether you are a singer, whether you're a preacher, whatever, we all have a core mission. So we're going to be looking at that over the month. But this week, we're going to focus on discipleship. And discipleship, if you were to define it, we could have so many definitions, but I've just put a few. It's really a commitment to Christ. If you say you're going to be a disciple, that means you have a commitment. You have made up in your mind to be living under his guidance, his lordship, and of course, obeying his commands. Jesus told his disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There was a condition. So we have to have a true commitment to Christ if we're going to be claiming to be his disciples, right? And then we also have to have spiritual growth. Discipleship involves growing. I should be a little bit stronger than I was at this time last year. And I think I am. I think the Lord has took me through some things in 2024 that I've grown a little. Not as much as I would like. But like Paul, I press towards the mark of the high calling. It's a high calling that's in Christ Jesus. So we should be transformed. Things that got us upset in 2024, hopefully they won't have the same impact, right? That scar is now there. It's toughened it up a little bit. Amen? People who hurt your feelings, you just say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to still love you. Amen? Now, if you can say that and mean it, then you have some spiritual growth. You know, we say it, but a lot of us, I don't know if we mean it, right? Amen. So we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind into Christ's image by two things, the Word and the Spirit. Amen. And then part of discipleship, of course, is teaching and multiplication. We are commanded to reach out to others, to teach others. Amen. To make disciples of others. That's part of discipleship. Not just ourselves, not just, you know, a lot of us are just too inward focused. We came here today thinking about all the stuff we have to deal with. We're focused upon ourselves. But remember now, Job's problems did not disappear until he did what? That should be a lesson to us. He didn't demand, God, you fix all my problems. But God told him, go pray for your friends. But Lord, look at me. Lord, look at my situation. I have a great, they haven't been sick. They haven't lost their family. They haven't been in a financial crisis. Lord, look at me. Hey, attention over here, Lord. That's not how it worked. What happened? God said, go pray for your friends. And that's when God changed the captivity. That's when the blessing came. So in 2025, we need to be outward looking. It's so easy, and I'm very guilty of this. I'm probably the most selfish prayer person. I shouldn't say that, but I love praying for myself. But we need to stop that and pray for others. Amen. Sister Browning. That's right. His friends had judged him, had wronged him. Those were the people that God said, you go pray for them. The people who had what? Isn't that what Jesus said in the New Testament? That despitefully use you. Amen, amen. So we want to, as part of discipleship, today, can you go 21 days, starting tomorrow, without praying for yourself? Does the scripture say God already knows what you need? So are you enlightening God? No, you're not. Why don't you trust him? That would be something to fast for being selfish, selfish prayers. Wouldn't that be a great thing? If for the next 21 days you did not ask for anything for yourself. Wasn't that the key to Solomon's greatest blessing? The Bible says the thing that Solomon asked, please God. Imagine if our very prayer pleased God. But instead of saying, Lord, man, look at the bills. Look at my issues. Look at my situation, Lord. I want you to fix that. Because it's so easy to make that your prayer. But what did Solomon ask for? He said, Lord, I want wisdom, but not for me. Lord, you've made me king. And I'm not smart enough to rule your great people. Could you make me wise so that I would judge and rule? And the Bible said the thing that he asked for pleased God. Wow. And because he didn't ask for the other stuff, guess what? It came anyway. See, let's try that this month. Let's see if our prayer, I think that's a very difficult, that's probably harder than fasting for some people. Because that's our main prayer. We get out our list. We start going down it. Lord, well, you see the mortgage is due, the car payment is due. Yeah, I can think of all those things too. But what if we were to pray for somebody else? Imagine what would happen. So we want to, part of discipleship is multiplication, praying for someone else. And I challenge you that God will do something. If it pleases God, there will be no stopping the year you will have in blessing. Amen. Community. Amen. Participating and contributing to the body of Christ. We're going to have a lot of things that we're going to challenge you with this year, things we want to do. But it won't happen unless you participate. Probably the first thing I'm going to ask you to participate is our business meeting. Right? For some reason, people don't want to come to that. I don't know why. Maybe you trust me and that's a good thing. But I'd rather you come. So we'll be having our business meeting probably the first Saturday in February. And I want you to come. Amen? Contributing to the body of Christ. And then, of course, the most important is mission. Proclaiming the gospel and serving others in love. Amen. Can you think in the next 3 weeks of something you could do for somebody else? Amen. Something you could do, maybe something small. Maybe just call them and just say, you know, I didn't see you at church. You're on my mind. I'm praying for you. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that make someone's day? If someone called me and told me that, it'd make my day. I'd say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody is thinking about me. All of these are parts of discipleship. It's not just coming to church and letting someone preach to you. But you need to take that now and use it. We're going to be talking about that in our vision service, second service. So as I said, discipleship is in two parts. Be one, make one. Be one, make. Turn to your neighbor and say that. Be one, make one. Right? That's discipleship. Be a disciple, make a disciple. Right? There's two parts to it. Discipleship, the being one, is the process, of course, following Christ, imitating Christ. Remember those little bands they used to have, WWJD? What would Jesus do? Of course, they've kind of gone out of fashion because people don't like what Jesus would do. So they stopped wearing them. But a few years ago, you see all the young people with what would Jesus do? But that is key. Being one means imitating Christ. You know, you've got a situation you're going to deal with this week. Before you do anything, you'd say to yourself, what would Jesus do? How can I imitate him? Because Jesus did a lot of things that shocked people. They weren't expecting it. They were totally not expecting it. It was different to what they had been taught. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's what I've been talking about. Stop praying for yourself. Just for a little bit. Won't hurt. You won't die. Deny yourself. Right? Take up his cross. Bear the cross that you've been given. And follow me. Imagine if we did that. Well, I think we'd have such a great February if we all did that. That's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough not to pray for yourself. I'll make one exception. You can thank God, right? You can thank him, but don't ask him for anything. You can thank him for what he's done, but don't ask him. See if you could do that for 21 days. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for blessing me. Thank you for my children that don't listen to me. I thank you for my whatever, right? Whatever the problem is. Start thanking God for that. What would the devil do if he set up a plan to destroy you and you start thanking God for it? He'd be going like, huh? What am I going to do with this guy? What am I going to do with this woman? That was supposed to mess them up. That was supposed to mess them up. They're supposed to be now tearing out their head and bawling. They're supposed to be deep. And they're worshiping. Amen. I think the greatest thing, well, almost the greatest, there's so many, but one of the greatest things that you read in the Bible is when they told David that his baby was dead. And they were scared to tell him because they thought he's going to go mad. He's been fasting and praying, and the very thing he was asking God did not work out. What did David do? They didn't tell him, but he figured it out because they were going around all quiet and sneaking around. He figured out, is the baby? They said, yeah. The Bible said he anointed himself. He went to the temple and he worshiped. Wow. I think that's such an amazing thing to read. He went to the temple and worshiped when his baby was dead. Now that's next level, right? That's next level. John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. We talk about being a disciple. Jesus gave a good death. He said, if you continue. A lot of people start. Lots of people go down in that sin. They're going to be his disciple. But they don't continue in the word. Not in what I say. Not in what some YouTube preacher says. Not in what some TV evangelist says. But in his word. That is being his disciple. So discipleship, as I said, comes in two parts. Being one, and then the next part, of course, is make one. We are called to make disciples. That's how you know something is alive, is when it what? Reproduces. A dead thing cannot reproduce. It just is. It just doesn't grow. Amen? So the second part is making one. And that's the process of obeying Jesus, because he told us to do what? Matthew 28:19, go into all the world, right? Teaching and making disciples. Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And we all know how that is supposed to go. And of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right? And it goes on to say, make disciples. Matthew 5:15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush. Right? If we're the light of the world, how are we going to give light unless we demonstrate it? In our lifestyle, at our job, at our home, in our family, right? Don't put it under a bush, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. The Bible says, so let your light shine before men. So discipleship, if you're going to claim to be a disciple, it's two parts. You can't have one only. You're not a full disciple yet. You take care of yourself, but you have to be one. And you have to make one. This year, set a goal. I'm going to win somebody for Christ. I'm going to speak to somebody this year. I'm going to give them a personal witness. I'm going to tell them what God has done for me. The joy that I can have. But now you have to demonstrate that. You can't be telling them at work how terrible your life is. That's not the gospel. That's not the good news. It may be true, but it's not the good news. The Bible says that the gospel is the good news, is the power of God, what? Unto salvation. They don't want to hear about how bad your year was. Everybody's got a sad story, right? We need to tell his story, the good news that Jesus died for us and rose again. And because of that, we have the opportunity for salvation. Amen. We should be, and I've said this before, the most joyful, happiest people, because we have God behind us. Because he should be pleased with us. Reason why we're not happy is because some of us he's not pleased with. Let's be honest. We're not doing his will. We're not in the word. We're not really fully embracing discipleship. Amen? So discipleship is two parts. Be one, make one. Let's say it again. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, be one. Make one. Amen. Now, you should stick that on your fridge this year. Stick that on your fridge. Stick it on your front door before you walk out. Stick it on your car mirror. Stick it everywhere so it's in your mind that this year I'm going to be one and I'm going to make one. You need to have a mission. I'm going to ask you all at the end of this month, what's your mission? I want you to write it down. Because unless you write it down, you're not going to do it. We're going to be accountable this year in Rehoboth. Me too. We want to be accountable. We want to serve God with our whole heart, 100%. God asked them, Jesus asked them, you know, what's the summary of the law? It's to serving God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body and spirit. Now, most of us don't even come up to 50%, do we? Let's raise that bar a little bit in 2025. We need to get a mission. Amen. I told you, if you want to live long, just have a mission. I'll say it again. We had a missionary, it was maybe more than 20 years ago, come to our church when we were in Michigan. And I was asking him, you know, how he survives this terrible place he was in. He was in one of these countries where they're blowing up people, shooting people, beheading people. I was asking him, aren't you worried? He says, nope. I can't die because I've got a mission. If you truly have a mission from God, you cannot die. You want to live long? Get a mission. Amen. So discipleship, be one, and then the making of one. Amen. So what does it mean? We're going to look a little bit deeper now into discipleship. What does it mean? Well, it starts off by being a follower of Christ. Not a half follower, a full follower. Think about it. This stranger walks up to them, and they're fishermen. They have a fishing business, and he says, follow me. Yes, we can follow. Give me a week or two. I need to do a few things. I need to get some stuff sorted out. But I'll tell you what, come back here next month. Pass by next month, and we'll talk. No, that's not what happened. Why do you think Jesus chose these? Because they had faith. It said immediately. Let's say immediately. That means now, if you don't understand. Didn't mean next week. Didn't mean June 21st. It meant now. It said immediately. They followed him. They left their nets. What we look at these disciples and why did he choose them? I'll tell you why he chose them. They were obedient to the call. Who to tell who else he chose who said, you know, I think you got a good story, Jesus, but I'm kind of busy right now. Maybe Jesus has called you in 2024 and you hung up the phone. It's symbolically, you hung up the phone. You did not fully say, Lord, whatever. You know, in here we always say, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to do. Okay, we got prayer on Thursday. We do have prayer on Thursday. We got prayer every Thursday this month because it's consecration. We're not going to skip. So we get, for the next 3 weeks, we will be having prayer on Thursday. Lord, but I got to go do laundry or something. What does it mean to be a disciple? A follower of Christ, one who embraces, that means you put your arms around it. I've said that Jesus' teachings is not a buffet. You know, my wife loves buffets because you can go pick what you want. But that's not the Bible. You have to eat the whole book. I love all the scriptures about love and grace. And you know, but there's other scriptures that are some hard sayings. If you love me, keep my commandments, right? So being a disciple means being a true follower of Christ. Matthew 4:19, he saith unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, you want to be a Peter, you want to be a James, you want to see, have visions of Christ, you want to be able to raise the dead, you want to be able to say to the lame man, get up and walk. This is why. This is why. We don't have that kind of commitment, let's be honest. Let's be honest, we don't have that kind of commitment. But let's do a little bit better. In 2025, when we are asked by God to do something, you want the miracles, you want all the blessing, but you don't do what he says. Verse 20 is the most amazing verse in the call. And straightway, that means they left what they were doing because they recognized who this was. This was Jesus, the creator of the universe. This was God in human form, and he was saying, come follow me. You're going to tell God, Let me check my phone a minute. But we do that. So this month, get a mission. Get a mission. See the posters? See the posters? What does it say? Yeah, what's your mission? Because I'm going to ask myself that. I need multiple missions. You all need multiple. We all got to do the boot camp, but you should have more than one mission. The Bible said when Jesus arose, he gave gift or gifts. Oh, it's got an S on the end. So it wasn't one. It was multiple. Doesn't matter how old we are, there's something we can do for Christ. But you have to write it down. You have to declare what you're going to do. Or else Satan will say, you don't need to do that. We're gonna get a mission, okay? So he said, straightway they left their nets and followed him. It just astounds me, their faith. They must have believed in this man so much that they just left everything. I mean, their family must have said they're crazy. They're in a cult. Today, that's what they would say, wouldn't they? They joined a cult. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Look at verse 22. What does it say? Turn to your neighbor and say, immediately. See, God may not come back next week and say, come again. He may find somebody else. And that would be so sad, wouldn't it? Last week we talked about the scripture that said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and found none. He was merciful to Abraham because Abraham kind of did do what God said halfway. He did go, but he tried to bring everybody else with him. And so he slowed down his own blessing. Amen. A follower of Jesus is doing so that eventually they can be a leader too. You are learning so that you can lead. Matthew 10:24. The disciple is not above his master. See, I've had a lot of people in 2024 call me up and say, why is this happening to me? Why? I don't understand it. Let me say this again. The disciple is not above his master. That's what Jesus was telling. Listen, they did that to me. Why are you surprised stuff is happening to you? Did they not crucify him? Did they not rip out his beard? Didn't they put a crown of thorns on him? Didn't they spit on him and call him all kinds of names? But yet, I have people last year actually call me and say, why is this happening to me, Pat? I don't understand it. It is enough for the disciple that he is as his master. So in some churches in the New Testament, they said they were happy because they were found worthy to do what? To suffer. And could we reverse that when you're under pressure, when bad things happen, you say, Lord, I know why this is happening, because the devil hates me. He's mad at me because I'm trying. So you know what I'm going to do? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I've been found worthy to suffer. The reason why the devil's mad at you, the reason why he's going to cause you problems is because he's trying to destroy you. And you should rejoice, because you have been found worthy. He don't care about some people. That's why they have life easy. They're in his camp already. He's not trying to get them. They're already there. But he's trying to get you because you're not there. Therefore, when trials and tribulations come, you should, and I know, try in the next 21 days to thank God for your problems. Find a problem and say, thank you, Lord. I don't know why this is in my life, but I'm going to thank you. Wow. Wouldn't that hurt Satan? Wouldn't that mess him up? Y'all being silent on me this morning. It is enough for the disciple to be as if God has promised that we can be like him. But don't think we're going to get less than he did. Because if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, now they called him the devil, how much more shall they call them of his household? Had someone call me up about 3-4 weeks ago and tell him the Lord told him to pray for me because blah, 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 blah. Of course, I knew it was the devil, because that's what they were telling me, all the things that were wrong with me. So it's the accuser of the brethren. So let's look at how Jesus went about making disciples, right? Because that's what we want to We want to be. John 17:11. And I read this, I believe, last week. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, and that was the key, I believe that while Jesus was in the world with the disciples, nothing could have happened to them. He told them to go out, don't even take a sword, don't take anything. You know why? Because he was with them. The night when he was to be arrested, I've taught this before, it wasn't like two or three soldiers they came to arrest Jesus. You know how many they sent? It was a cohort. A Roman cohort was 600 soldiers. They were not intending just to arrest Jesus. They were intending to arrest all of his disciples. But Jesus said, when he said, whom do you seek? He says, Jesus. He said, I am. You know what the Bible says? They all fell back. And then he ordered them, read it in John. He said, leave these alone. In other words, you can't touch them because I'm still here. All you want is me. This is why I have come. And they couldn't arrest them. They sent 600 soldiers and then went away with just Jesus. Why? Because John 17:12 says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them. But you know what? When you're filled with the Spirit, who's inside your heart? Do you know he can still keep you? Yes, he can. And none of them is lost, save or but for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Listen, if we just be obedient to what Christ has promised us, we cannot be lost. If we are obedient to the word, we cannot be lost because he's promised to keep us. Amen? So discipleship is really about building a relationship, growing and learning God's ways. Amen? I mean, when you get married, do you know your spouse immediately? You find out some surprising things the first week, maybe. If they're a man, they leave the toilet seat up. Maybe. And maybe in your house, they didn't. I know that was the case in my wife's. Yeah, she learned fast. I leave them. You start to learn about your spouse, right? We need to learn and grow in knowledge of our King. Amen. And then once you have been following, you need to put it into practice. Elisha was following Elijah, and he'd been promised a double portion. Elijah kept on telling, you don't need to follow me. Why don't you just wait here? I got some business over here in Jericho. He says, oh, no. You gave me that promise that if I see you go up, I'm going to get a double portion. He was not going to let him get away. But after he saw him, the next thing he does, he comes back to the Jordan, and he had seen Elijah get over there, and there was no bridge, no ferry. Elijah had just parted the water with his mantle, and the river had parted, and he walked over. So coming back now, Elisha's going to try it. Once you have become a disciple, you need to put into practice what you have seen Jesus or heard or learned Jesus do. Amen? So you're not just following, you're following to put into practice. You're following to be an image of what Jesus did. And a disciple learns by hearing his master and doing like his master. And this is brought out in John 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, what are you supposed to do? I have set an example. You know what that's talking about? Service. Serving others. What I'm saying. What's your mission? Get a mission. Start thinking about this month. I don't mean some airy fairy thing. I mean something concrete that you can say I did it or I didn't do it. You need to write it down. That's going to be your goal in 2025. This church is going to be on a mission. We may not be in Africa or some other place, but we're going to be a missionary church. Amen. So we follow to practice. That is true. What good would you be a disciple if you never get to the point of doing what you saw the master do? Here it is. And it came to pass that the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Then Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here. Why don't you just chill right here? I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So he followed him to Bethel. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken, it shall be so unto thee. The key to him getting that double portion was what? Yes, that's it. He had to follow. You want the double portion, you have got to follow Christ. You can't follow him this week and say, I'm going to stay in Bethel next Sunday. It's too cold. No, the key to him getting that, he had to stick with Elijah the whole time. If he didn't see, the promise was, if you see me when I go up, then you will have the double portion. And he asked a hard thing from thee, it shall be unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. He took up also the mantle of Elijah, verse 13, after he saw him, got up and fell from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. I want to test this thing out. I did see him. I followed him. Now I'm going to see if it works. He's turning from a disciple now into himself being the master and a leader. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the God, Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. See, we want the miracles, but we haven't followed diligently. The wise men found him because they diligently followed for, it could have been up to 2 years. Hundreds of miles, maybe not 1,000 miles from where they came. They wanted to see Jesus. That's the commitment we need in 2025. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to see visions? Do you want to have miracles happen in your family? Do you want deliverance? You want depression to be far from you? You want to break down the walls the enemy has tried to fence you in with? You're going to have to be obedient to the word. A true disciple learns. You're not the same as you were 5 years ago. I hope not. Hope you can say, give someone a good word. Hope you can quote a few scriptures. Amen. And not just Jesus wept. Right? Hope you know a few more scriptures than Jesus wept. Hebrews 5:8. Look at what it says about Jesus himself in regards to his humanity. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. How? Ooh, by the things which he suffered. Lord, oh, Lord, I don't know about that part. I really hate pain. Anyone here like pain? Okay, I don't like pain. But, unfortunately, good judgment comes from bad experience. Let me say it again. Good judgment comes from bad experience. You learn something, you go, I'm never going to try that again. I saw what happened when I did that. Unfortunately, that's how our human psyche, our nature is. We learn more from having a bad experience than from a good experience. It's when something goes, okay, I saw what happened. I'm never going to do that again. We say anyway, right? But next time we think, okay, well, I'm smarter this time. I see what went wrong. I'm going to try and go around this way and it'll be okay until we get in trouble again. So a true disciple learns and grows and doesn't stay the same. And of course, Jesus said that if any man will come, he has to deny himself. I made the challenge in the next 21 days of our consecration. What if we fasted from praying for ourselves? Oh, that would be very hard, because the last thing at night when I pray, I start to ask God all the things I need him to do for me. But I'm going to try, just like I'm telling you, I'm going to just start thanking him. I'm not going to ask him for anything for myself. I'm going to pray for others. What if that really does something and changes God's outlook on Rehoboth? Here's a church that for 3 weeks, nobody in the church prayed for themselves. They prayed for others. Imagine if it happens just like the book of Job. And God turned. And God turned. And God turned. And God turned. God turned the captivity of Job. You in captivity to some things? Devil got you bound up in some things? Devil got you depressed about some things? Well, imagine if God turned that captivity. The Bible says that the latter end of Job was so much better than the former end. Let's put it in a modern terms. If any person wants to follow me, he must say no to the things he or she wants. I want a vacation. Brother Jordan is down in Texas, you know, at his aunt's funeral, and he decided to send me a picture of him in a t-shirt and says, it's not really a vacation, but it's really nice out here. I sent him back, well, Brother Jordan, it's a really balmy 18 degrees up here. Yeah. I challenge you, go out in your t-shirt. You can have a great time. If any person wants to follow me, he must say no to the things he wants. Now, that's a challenge. No to the things. It's all about him. Didn't we just sing that song? Jesus, be the center of my life. We sing it, but do we mean that? Jesus, be the center. That would mean it's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. Recognizing true discipleship. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, and ye also love one another. By this is how, shall men, all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath not seen, how can he love God? Sorry, whom he hath seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? 1 John 4:21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. See, and I put that little meme up there. It says, and they will know you are my disciples by your rules, by your theology, by your righteousness, by your power, by your rhetoric, by your purity, by your clubs. No, that's not what that wasn't the condition. They will know you're a true disciple by how you show love. Isn't that something? I know a lot of our churches want to make it all about this list of how you dress, and that is important because we want to be different. But that's not the definition that Jesus used. That wasn't the definition. That's how you know he's because of you, the way you dressed, or how righteous you are. It's how much love you show. Isn't that amazing? It's contrary to our little puny human brains and how we would do it. Now, that's not to say that we should be like the world. Absolutely not. At the Winter Youth Convention, the preacher said something that stuck with me. He says, we want to make a difference. Who wants to make a difference? Could you raise your hand if you want to make a difference in 2025? He went on to say, if you want to make a difference in 2025, then you can't be the same. You have to be different. Get a mission. What's your mission? Well, my mission is I'm going to be different. I'm going to be trying to show love. I want to be a true disciple. Now, when we look at the people who Jesus called, they were a ragtag bunch. You know, it wasn't the normal, like, he didn't go to the temple and pick all the Pharisees, all the religious people. He picked some really strange individuals. Really, if you study their lives, they were some different, real. They would never have gotten together and said, "You all, let's all get in a BFF." No, no, no. These were not people who were going to be normally, buddy buddies. You know, a publican, a tax collector, an ISIS guy, an assassin. Yes, that's who these people were. Some fishermen. That's who Jesus called. Isn't that amazing? And yet at the end of 3.5 years, they were changed. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit sat upon each and every one of them. And they became different. And that's why they made a difference. You cannot make a difference in 2025 if you are not going to be different. If you're the same as everybody out there, how are you going to make a difference? It's impossible. Simon, Peter, fishermen. Andrew, another fisherman. James, he liked fishermen, you know what? Because they knew how to set traps. They knew how to have patience. John, fisherman. So far, 4 fishermen. Philip from Bethsaida, and we don't really know what he was. Bartholomew, also known as Nathaniel. Matthew, we know he was a tax collector, right? The Bible tells us that. Thomas, also known as Didymus. James, the son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus, known as Judas, the son of James. Simon the Zealot, he was the ISIS guy. He belonged to the zealots who were going around with knives assassinating people. See, these were not people who would have come and formed a club. No, But Jesus chose them. You know what this does? It gives hope for each and every one of us. You may not have been born in with a famous name or in riches or wherever. You may have been born in a broken family, but Jesus chose you. All you have to do is like what we saw immediately, straightway. The two words that we use in John 20, it says immediately and straightway. And then finally, he even chose a devil. He chose a devil. Now, I firmly believe that Judas had a choice. He didn't have to stay a devil. If you came in here a devil, you don't have to stay a devil. You have to be different. If you stay the devil, you're not going to make no difference. I think Judas had a choice. The Bible says, woe through whom, offenses must come, but woe to whom through whom they come. That means Judas had a choice. He could have repented before he betrayed him. He repented when it was too late. He had a choice. All of us have a choice. We can either choose in 2025 to get a mission and put our arms around Jesus and say, I'm going to be fully make you the center of my life. Or we can be like we were in 2024 and just come to church and make no difference. Make no difference. John 17:22. And the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given them, because they were so committed, even to the point of being willing to die. Jesus said, I'm going to make them one as we are one. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says that if you get the chance to see him, if you get the chance to see Jesus, if the day comes when he breaks that cloud and you see him, the Bible says you're going to be changed. You're going to see him as he is. Amen. And we are going to be changed as well, to be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So the discipleship is all about becoming as the master. Amen. Matthew 10:23, and when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now he was talking to the Jews when he had sent them out. Again, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. We are called to become his image. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must. What does it say, must? Through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. As I said, I had several people call me during the year 20, saying, why is this happening to me? Well, I could say it's because you want to be a disciple, or you said, Jesus used me. Because if you say that, you know what you're doing. You're attracting, okay, I see where you're going in 2025. I'm going to hatch my plan to stop you. But we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. See, Jesus had this ability to turn sinners into friends. Isn't that amazing? They criticize him for, you're always with the drunk people. You're having parties. You go to these publican houses, and you're having parties over there. You're drinking. Matthew 5:47, and if you salute your brethren only, what do we more than others? Do not even the publicans? If you just greet your friends and only call your friends, are you doing anything for the kingdom of God? No. No. Mark 2:15, he came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many and they followed him. See, we don't start out being saints. We start out being sinners. But if you start to follow him, you can start to change. When you become different, you will make a difference. Friends into disciples. So it says that they, for there were many and they followed him. It was the sinners and the, he says, a healthy person doesn't need a doctor. I came to save those that were lost. Now, the last thing I want to say is that discipleship has a cost. If you're going to get a mission, discipleship has a cost. It's not a freebie, right? It's going to cost you. The most important thing it's going to cost you is your time. It's going to cost you your time. That's one thing I don't manage well yet, but I'm asking God to help me manage my time better in 2025, because a lot of times I just want to veg out. I just want to turn off the world and not take calls, not just, and Sister Brownie comes and she sees me sitting at my desk just staring at and she says, "What are you doing?" And I tell her I'm vegging. Which is not good. I'm not proud of that. But sometimes I'm human and I just don't want to deal with stuff. But getting a mission is going to take your time. Acts 1:1, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto his apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." I taught what happened. After he was first resurrected, they're all joy, they're all happy, and after about 10 or so days, they all go back to fishing. He had to go looking for them. He had told them to go to Galilee, but he didn't tell them to go fishing. They all went back to exactly where he called them from. And he had to repeat the miracle of the fishes. That's how Peter first got convinced the first time, when he went out and fished all night, couldn't get no fishes. And in the morning, Jesus said, "Draw from the other side." And Jesus had to repeat that miracle after 3.5 years, because that's where they went back fishing. And again, the same thing happened. Fishing all night, couldn't catch anything. Then Jesus shows up on the beach and he tells them, "Throw it on the other side." You know why that repeated? God was trying to make a point. I called you from this. I took 3.5 years at the best university the earth has ever seen. University of Jesus Christ, UJC. I want to be at that university. You can get a full ride tuition. It's been paid in full. And if you will complete every semester, you can come out being a master over Satan, over sin, over the devil, over depression, over disease, over sickness. If you could stand with me. Acts 13:47. "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Think about that. That's not to the pastor, that's to you. I have made you a light to the Gentiles. I've made you a light to the... I want you to think about that. I've made you, I'm not going to call any names, but I'm looking at you all. Jesus is speaking to us, not me alone. I have made you a light. So let your light shine in 2025. We're going to be challenging this church to do some sacrificial things, mostly of your time. The result of the discipleship after Jesus had gone now, Acts 4:13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." They hadn't been to the college of whatever, Yale or Harvard, but they'd been to UJC. UJC, people didn't know that. "And they marveled and they took knowledge of them." Why? They had been with Jesus. That's all you need in 2025, to have been with Jesus. And then he will be with you. We're going to close this Sunday school. I'm going to have more to say in the second service here. But isn't it awesome that God has given us this opportunity to be his disciples, to get a mission? If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we just thank you that you have blessed us, Lord, that you have called us. You have made us worthy through your blood to stand, hallelujah, in the congregation of the church of the firstborn. Lord, we ask, Lord, in 2025, help us to truly make you the center of our lives. Oh God, that you will truly empower us, oh God, to win other souls, Lord God, to become your disciple, Lord God, to be one, Lord God, and to make one. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing, Lord God. Bless us, encourage us, take us to another level. We give you all of the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's do that right now. Let's put our hands together. Amen.